Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're in program number 3 concerning the prophet from Tekoa. His name was Amos. It was an age of apostasy, and God had a young man by the name of Amos. He was not a prophet. He was not a son of a prophet. He was a herdman or a shepherd. And in his spare time, he gathered fruit off a sycamore tree. But he had a heart of gold. That is, he had a heart that loved the things of the Lord. He had a discernment about the way things were going. And so God said, I want you to go to Israel, and I want you to preach what I tell you to preach. Well, the attitude of his listeners wasn't very good. They laughed at him. They scorned him. Who is this shepherd, this picker of fruit? What are we going to listen to him for? Well, we find before the story's over, they should have listened to him. God always has someone to do his work for him. Not always those that are educated and have what we would call a formal education. Gypsy Smith said, I didn't go through your colleges and seminaries. They wouldn't have me. But I have been to the feet of Jesus, where the only true scholarship is learned. God used Gypsy Smith to win multitude thousands of people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was born in a gypsy tent, and he died on the Queen Mary on August the 4th, 1947, during his 45th crossing of the Atlantic Ocean. God also used Amos. He was not educated along the lines of the formal education of some of those people who were going through their stupidity of religion down at the temple, but he had a heart to do what God wanted him to do. Tremendous young man. His name was Amos. He just gave his all to the Lord, and here's a good question. Is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
We've seen in the previous programs that the Lord took this young fellow out of the wilderness of Tekoa, and He tells him that he should go to Israel. Now, he was from Judah, and that in itself would be a questionable thing if this fellow didn't trust the Lord, and he did trust the Lord. But Israel and Judah, you know, the tribes had split, the nation had split, and you had the 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south, and they'd been battling each other for about 200 years. The Lord says, I want you to go up there to Israel and tell them what I have to say. And that's all he did. He went up there, and 83 times in the book of Amos, you'll find the phrase, the Lord. Again and again, Amos simply said, thus saith the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 2 to chapter 2, 3, he is giving warnings concerning the Gentile nations. And then in chapter 2, verse 4 on through, we find him giving warnings concerning what God is going to do regarding Judah and Israel. Now, we've read again, and it's important to understand this. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Gentile nations in this world need to be warned, need to be admonished about the fact that God is going to deal with them on how they operated things in His cities. Whether that city is a big city like Toronto or Halifax or Vancouver or a little place like Sarnia, all those council members are going to answer to God someday for the things they voted for that were against the Scriptures. Well, that's what we need to realize today concerning Gentile nations. However, God begins to talk here through this young prophet to the Jewish people, and although Israel, they said, yeah, you can preach to those Gentiles all you want, but don't go preaching to us. They weren't about to listen to anything that Amos had to say concerning their sin and how they were violating the laws of God. Well, God always had His prophets, and Ezekiel 2:5 says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. When we get to chapter 7 on through chapter 9, it changes in this story here of Amos, and here we have some visions that he had concerning what God was going to do in the future. In Amos chapter 7, 1 through 3, it says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed the grasshoppers." He says, now, these grasshoppers are going to come. God has shown this unto me. And they're saying, "Oh, why don't you go back there and look after those sheep? And probably there's some fruit you need to pick off the tree. Go away." They're not listening to him. He said, "The Lord told me about the grasshoppers, and they're going to come in and they're going to eat up everything." He said, "It was the latter growth after the king's mowings that you're going to be sorry about." Well, what was he talking about? Well, first of all, according to the taxes of that age, the king got the first crop, and then you could get the second crop. And what he's saying is, there ain't going to be a second crop for you people. What's going to happen here is those grasshoppers are going to come in, or those locusts are going to come in, and they're going to eat it all. Well, Amos, in spite of the fact that they laughed at him and ridiculed him, he had the Spirit of the Lord in him, and he prayed for them, it says here. And in verse number 3, the Lord said, "Okay, it shall not be, saith the Lord." He spared them of that. Well, then we have the second vision in verse number 4. It says, "Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire and devour everything." Well, Amos prayed again. And then in verse 6, the Lord said, "Okay, in his mercy, this also shall not be, saith the Lord." Then he had another vision. It had to do with a plumb line. Verse number 7, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel." Now, we got a plumb line to see if you're getting it straight or not. And what you have to do is put that plumb line up against the Word of God to see if we're getting it straight or not. Well, God's beginning to run out of patience, and we see here the next vision in chapter 8 and verse 1. "Thus hath the Lord showed me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit." Well, the summer fruit is the end of the harvest. It's come to an end. And he said, "Amos, what seest thou?" And he said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then said the Lord unto me, "The end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." Don't go praying for me to show my mercy anymore. We're not having any more mercy here. And the Jews were expelled out of their country. They were taken captivity, both into Babylon and into Assyria. The Bible says here in verse number 3, "The songs of the temple shall be howling." Sounds a lot like so-called church services today, where they have their rock music and their drums and do a whole lot of howling. "The Lord has sworn," it says in verse 7, "by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works." God says, "I'm not going to forget what they're doing and what they're not doing." Verse 10, "I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation." Well, they just laughed at him. They said, "Who is this crazy guy from the sheepfold?" "Thus hath the Lord showed me," he said in chapter 7 and verse number 1. "Thus hath the Lord showed me," he said in chapter 7 and verse number 4. Then in verse number 7, he said, "Thus he showed me concerning this plumb line," and they laughed at him some more. In chapter 8 and verse 1, "Thus hath the Lord showed me," he showed me this fruit basket, "we've come to the end of the harvest," and they just kept on laughing. Not only did they keep laughing at him, they finally changed from ridicule to anger. And we see in chapter 7 and verse number 10, "Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel said unto Jeroboam king of Israel, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword." Now, he didn't say that. He's lying. But see, after a while, they don't just ridicule, they attack. And it says here in verse number 12, "Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, he's saying this, of course, ridiculing him. You're no seer, you're a silly shepherd that picks fruit in your spare time. O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. What are you doing here in Israel anyway? And there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. Got that right, fellas. He's just a humble young fella. He says, yeah, I'm just a shepherd and I pick fruit sometimes. But the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel, and here I am prophesying, and you should listen. Well, they didn't listen, and the next thing we see is an absence of God's presence for 400 years. It says in verse number 11 of chapter 8, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro, and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. They had 400 years of silence, of absence from God was absent. The dictionary says to be absent is the state of being away from a place or a person. Well, is there anybody who is going to be able to get in contact with God during that 400 years? I think there was. I think there was the remnant. It says in Ezekiel 11 and verse number 13, then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? And in verse 16 we read, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Now he's talking about the past 2,000 years where Israel has been wandering through this world without a nation, but he says, concerning the remnant, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the country where they shall come. Now he's going to be a little sanctuary for 2,000 years. I'm sure he was a little sanctuary to the remnant during those 400 years. Isaiah 1 and 9 said, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And so we have the absence of God from people in general, so-called people of God, for 400 years. But as we get into the New Testament 400 years later, what do we find? A remnant. What happens? Jesus is born there in Bethlehem. Who knows about that? All the chief priests and the wise guys down at the temple, they haven't a clue what's going on. But a few shepherds out in the field, they know what's going on. And the angel appears to that little remnant and says, you can go and find the Lord wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. God has always had a remnant. We go all the way back to the story of Noah. There was only 8 people got on that boat. In the days of Isaiah, he said, it had not been for a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been as Gomorrah. When we get to the New Testament, we had a handful of shepherds out there in the field and 11 men and one hypocrite that joined up with the Lord. And as the local churches began to go, 7 times we read in the New Testament about someone had church in their house. And it was organized. This is not some kind of an excuse to, you know, get mad at the pastor and go have a little meeting in your house and call it church. They had pastors and they had deacons, but they were small and they were meeting in homes. And today the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All my life was wrecked by sin when Jesus found me. Oh, my heart was full of misery and woe.
Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares.